is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at the SIGGRAPH Conference in San Diego. I'm with Stan Swiderski of NEC Displays. Hello, Stan.
Hello.
Stan, let's talk about displays. Over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of shifts in display technology. We started off with CRTs being universal, and now, of course, everything is flat panel, and you don't see a CRT. But now we're entering into a whole another generation of flat panel display technology, right?
Yes, we're entering into a point where the flat panel technology is getting almost as good as, well, I shouldn't say almost as good. In some ways, it's better than the old CRT technologies for color critical applications. The LCDs have always really been good enough for desktop and some other applications, but we're conquering some of the last frontiers for color. And the way we're doing that is by enhanced backlighting, fluorescent CCFL, as well as LED backlighting. As you know, we were the first to come out with an LED display, and we're going forward with that. We're developing some of our future displays will be LED backlit, and we're doing things like modulating the LEDs for uniformity as well as white point of the display.
Let's talk about some of the differences. What were the strengths of a CRT display that LCD displays are still trying to catch up to?
Really, the only thing that LCDs are lacking versus CRTs at this point, the CRT had a blacker black, so your contrast ratio was, in essence, better because you had darker blacks, but they weren't as bright. So the LCDs are catching up to that, especially some of the panel technology that we use for color-critical LCDs. Anything ending with an I uses an IPS type of panel. What that panel gives you is better blacks, so darker blacks.
So the I is something that refers to an NEC product line. What's an IPS panel?
So there's different type of technologies for panels, for liquid crystal displays in general, and IPS refers to in-plane switching. What that means is the way the liquid crystal actually twists to release the light from the panel. The IPS technology does a type of twist that allows for a wider viewing angle, and when they actually block the light, you get darker blacks. So hence, you get the better blacks on an IPS panel. And your flesh tones are a little more realistic on an IPS-type panel.
Well, let's look at this from the point of view of a consumer. So we have a couple different consumers. One consumer walks into, let's say, a big box store and just wants to buy whatever seems to be a bargain, and they see a flat panel display for $150, $200. And that person walks into a dedicated store and sees a more expensive display, three, four times the price, looks the same, right? So what's the difference? Why should one person be looking at one display versus another?
The difference really is, the biggest difference is in the liquid crystal panel itself. Like I was talking about the IPS panel. A lot of the panels used in consumer-grade monitors are what's called TN plus film. And from a specs perspective, they'll look similar. They'll have 160-degree viewing angle. But the technology in the panel itself is quite different. So a professional monitor will use what's called the active matrix wide viewing angle panel. And all of our 90 series does. And what that panel gives you is no off-angle color shift or gamma shift, typically. Some of them have a little bit of shift, some don't. All of our IPS panels don't have any color shift or gamma shift. So when you're looking at it from the side or from the front, it's going to look the same. Not only that, you have better blacks. You also have more accurate representation of colors.
Now, the conventional wisdom on a CRT was after about 3 years, its dynamic range started to get limited and you had to replace it. Is there something similar for a flat panel?
Not really. What happens with the flat panels, over time, the backlight will fade, so you're going to get a little bit of brightness difference. But you won't have, with the CRT, what would happen is the phosphor would degrade over time. So you would lose some of your dynamic range. With a liquid crystal, you really don't. The crystal does alter over time a little bit, but it's a very small percentage compared to what a CRT would do. In general, LCDs are much more stable than a CRT.
Now, when it comes to color calibration, a lot of folks are maniacs about it, and they'll calibrate three times a day for different light sources. Other people will calibrate, if you're lucky, once a month. Some people have once every year. Is there any rule, because a CRT, it was so much more variable compared to a flat panel? Should a flat panel be calibrated every month, every 6 weeks, every 2 weeks?
Depends on the flat panel. If the flat panel has some sort of a built-in stabilization, like a backlight sensor, which several of ours do, then the calibration time will typically be anywhere from a month to maybe 3 months, quarterly basis. And of course, as you live with the monitor, you're going to learn how it acts. So, you know, initially some people do calibration once a week and they learn they really don't need to. They'll end up doing it every 6 months, especially if you have a built-in stability sensor.
And that's one of those things you pay for with a higher price, more professional grade monitor.
Absolutely. Your basic consumer monitor or monitor you can buy off the web or in a Best Buy or something like that is typically will not have a backlight sensor, will not have the better panel. Our monitors have a built-in lookup table that we can actually calibrate and store the calibration in a monitor. That's the difference between a professional monitor and consumer monitor. We also make a consumer version of our monitor that do not have the built-in lookup tables, do not have the calibration ability, do not have the selectable gamma curves that a professional monitor will have. Also, the professional monitors, some of them carry up to a four-year warranty, so they're really built for durability and long life.
So like so many things in life, you pay for what you get?
Absolutely.
But for someone who's making their living as an animator, illustrator, photographer, graphic designer, their use of color really needs to be very critical, right?
Absolutely. That's the final frontier really is now the color monitor. Many of the monitors had a typical monitor will have a 72% color gamut. When I say that, that means as reference to the old NTSC standard. And the reason we're referencing this old standard is this is what the manufacturers are doing of the liquid crystal modules themselves. These are the reference they're using is the old NTSC standard. So your typical monitor will have a 72% color gamut. Our LED monitor has a 107% color gamut. What that means, the color gamut is actually bigger than the old NTSC standard, and it encompasses all of the Adobe RGB color gamut. That seems to be the standard that many people are going to, the Adobe RGB gamut, for their work. So we're using that as a reference in our monitors.
Well, I have to say that I've been testing the LED monitor for the last 6 months, and it is a revelation. It is by far the brightest, most consistent visual experience I've ever encountered in a monitor. And for me, the only experience has been that this monitor is so nice that now I have to figure out how to make prints that match the monitor.
One interesting thing about the LED is you say it's brighter. If you look at the specs only say 200 candelas, but you would swear it's brighter than that. It's the way our eyes work. We actually pick up more color in our eyes and it looks brighter. Real interesting phenomenon.
Now, not all LEDs are created equal because there's a single LED that can be used as a backlight, much like a fluorescent tube is, right? But the NEC LED display actually uses a tricolor array, right? So you can dial in colors much like the old CRTs allowed you to adjust guns.
The LED backlit monitor, at least ours, uses three colors, red, green, and blue, and we adjust the red, green, and blue to the white point that we're looking for. And we hold that white point consistent by having an internal sensor and a feedback loop. So we adjust the LED and we constantly readjust them to hold that white point. A lot of the monitors coming out with LED backlits and like the Apple laptops, I believe they just use a white LED. So they really won't have that ability to control the white point.
But there's some environmental advantages to LED, right?
Actually, big environmental advantages. No mercury at all. So it makes the monitor very environmentally friendly. That's the big thing with cold cathode fluorescents. They actually have mercury in them.
Are fluorescents a thing of the past, or is this going to happen slowly?
I think it's going to happen slowly. There's still a price per performance value in fluorescents. The light output you get out of the fluorescents versus what power you put in other words, the efficiency is still better than LEDs, and it will be for some time. But as all silicon-based products, the LEDs are going to keep improving, kind of like microprocessors did over time.
Now, Apple, in its new line of MacBook Pros, has LED backlighting, and they're claiming longer battery life is one of the benefits of that.
They will get it because the LEDs they're using are more efficient, so they already are becoming efficient. In our backlit monitor, we basically have to use very bright LEDs to get the color gamut and the life. So our power usage isn't quite as good on that one as the Apple MacBooks will be.
But the Apple MacBooks aren't going to match the color fidelity of a desktop monitor at the moment, right?
I don't believe they will. I haven't seen the final specs, but I don't think they will.
Now, there's always been a gap between laptop displays, as good as they are, and the type of display that's been on a desktop, right?
Well, typically the laptop display uses the type of panel I was talking about that's not an active matrix. It uses a TN plus film panel. So just in essence, that panel itself kind of limits the performance that it can have. The advantage of the TN plus film panels is you don't need as much light to generate the output out. So that's another reason why you can be more efficient on a laptop, because the TN Plus film has a what's called a bigger aperture. In other words, the opening of the liquid crystal itself is a little bit bigger, so you can let more light through.
NEC is previewing some new products at this show, right?
Yes, we are. In addition to our line for the 19-inch 1990SX, essentially it's a cost-effective product for to be color-calibratable and color-critical market. It's a 19-inch VA panel. There really isn't a IPS panel available in a 19-inch line anymore, so we had to go to VA, which is the next best thing. A VA panel is a what's called a vertical alignment panel. It's still an active matrix panel, so you still have a wide viewing angle. Your blacks aren't quite as black, but it's still very good color. It's the next best thing to an IPS panel.
In the early days of flat panel displays, if you moved your head a quarter of an inch, you seemed to get a totally different image. And over the years, it's gotten better and better and better. So is that what you're referring to as viewing angle?
Absolutely. The viewing angle refers to the way the specs read, and just explain some of the specs to some people. The way the specs are at 10 to 1 contrast ratio is considered the maximum viewing angle. So in other words, if you go 60 degrees off or 90 degrees off and you still can see 10 to 1 contrast ratio, that is your viewing angle spec. So as the LCD panels have improved, the viewing angles have improved. The active matrix viewing panels, like the IPS, the VA, are all right around 178 degrees. So that means even at 178 degrees, so if you're looking at the monitor at 89 degrees, in other words, almost parallel to the surface, you're still seeing the image at a 10 to 1 contrast ratio. That's the way those specs actually work. Some people are actually speccing a 5 to 1, which is actually easier to achieve. You got to be real careful with the specs.
Some listeners have asked me, is that important? And what I've noticed is the larger the display, the more important it is, because you're actually moving your head physically more to see edges of the display, which I didn't expect.
Yeah, that's very true, and that's a big factor in if you're sitting close to the display. If you're further from display, obviously it doesn't matter. So like your 30-inch displays, your 26-inch displays, which actually we have a 26 now, we will be coming out with a 30-inch. It's very important to have a good viewing angle. And it's also important to judge the quality of the panel. It's not so you can tell the quality of the panel by how much off-angle color shift you have. It's just an easy quality gauge.
Is there an effective lifespan to a panel? You mentioned a four-year warranty, but does a panel start to lose luminance? Does it start to shift after 4 or 5 years to where you should consider replacing it, or is it indefinite?
There is a lifespan. Typically, what's going to happen, your backlight over time, as it ages, will lose brightness. That's one way, one aging. Another aspect is the liquid crystal itself will gather some ions and shift a little bit, just a small percentage over time. So the effective age of the liquid crystal is pretty long. It's probably 10 years. The backlight itself, though, we spec pretty much half brightness at about 40,000 hours, 50,000 hours. So you're talking 24/7 usage for 5-6 years. That's the effective. Of course, your electronics can fail before then, depending on your environment and usage. Probably the current life of most monitors is 5 to 6 years. That's a good average life. I think people will probably get sick of the monitor and want something newer before it dies.
So remember, donate those monitors to charity. Don't just put them in a landfill. Last question is, a newer monitor seems to be brighter and snappier. Now, is that just because wishful thinking, or are newer monitors brighter and snappier?
The newer monitors are brighter and snappier. Every year we have a small percentage increase either in brightness or viewing angle or color gamut. The future is really color gamut and response time. And response time is another issue that's being tackled. That's another place where CRTs were actually better for motion. And we're working on that. That's kind of the next hurdle that we're going to get over.
As a monitor ages, you can still calibrate with either your tool or one of the third-party tools, right?
Absolutely. That's one nice thing. You can, let's say if you have a shift in color, you have two monitors side by side, they no longer match. You can calibrate using our solution, or you can actually calibrate using a third-party solution. Of course, ours will be more accurate. And we can adjust the monitor in ways that you can't really do with a video card.
I want to thank Stan Swiderski for spending time with us today. Stan, where can our listeners find out more information about NEC Solutions?
Our website is www.necdisplays.com, and there's all types of information. We have white papers on color-critical solutions, our SpectraView solution, which is our calibration solution, our LED backlit, and also why LEDs are very effective as far as color gamut and color fidelity.
And you're expecting some upgrades to the wide-gamut LED monitor that I've been testing, right?
Yes, we actually have. It's a little little big brother, I call it, because it's a 26-inch enhanced color gamut. Still using CCFLs, but it has a 92% color gamut versus a 107 on the LED. And then going forward in about a year or so, we will have a LED backlit monitor where we're actually going to compensate for non-uniformities on the screen dynamically with a matrix of LEDs. And also our color comp, which is digital uniformity correction. So it's going to be a very, very interesting monitor, pretty much aimed at the high-end photographers and graphics market.
Well, Stan, I want to thank you for spending time with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harrison. You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio. The contents are copyright 2007 and cannot be reproduced without written consent.